This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Philly's Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by my buddy, John Brazier. And John, sitting next to us, the writer, the director, the producer of Bedlam at the Bank, the 2022 Phillies highlight film.
And Tom, this is history. This is podcast history. We've never had a repeat guest, right? Because Video Dan we could have on every week.
True.
Because Video Dan could tell he's our historian. He's got the greatest stories ever. Was great friends with L.A. That says it all right there. But we're bringing him back not to tell stories or about his career. We are bringing him back to
talk about Bedlam at the ballpark. John,
has 114,000 views on Philly's YouTube.
And we're going to talk about it. I just want to, for the record, Quentin Tarantino called me the other day and wanted to come on the podcast. I said, sorry.
We
have another guy, give me a call back. And Marty, Scorsese called me the other day, too.
I said, Marty, you guys are pretty tight.
Marty. But Video Dan, what's up, brother?
Fellas, Happy New Year.
How you doing? With John?
First of all, you can't say video without doing Harry Cowles.
Video Dan.
What's up, Vintage?
Much, fellas.
John just mentioned it, and we were talking about it a little bit before. How cool is it that the Phillies highlight film this year is out there for the whole universe to see on YouTube?
It's a beautiful thing because you can see it whenever you want, wherever you want. You know, you can watch it on your phone. I recommend you go home and watch it on a great big smart TV and crank up the volume and enjoy all the thrills that happen in October in South Philadelphia.
Yeah, and you notice that there's less Fanatic because the team does really well.
I tell the Fanatic's friend all the time, I said, if we're having a horrible year, he's the star of the highlight.
Well, can I just say, I go down, I'm with the Fanatic, we pop up on YouTube, and we get to watch it, and the Fanatic is sitting there. He can't wait to see himself parachuting into Citizens Bank Park to start the season. Cutting room floor video.
Big time. You kidding me?
The Fanatic risking his life didn't make the highlights.
Was it because it wasn't a smooth landing?
Oh, it was not. Right?
But seriously, balance it out. Kyle Schwarber's leadoff home run and the Fanatic parachuting in. Easy.
That's true.
Priorities.
It's got a good point there, Tom.
Listen, you're probably the guy who enjoyed the Kevin Millwood no-hitter in 2003 more than the Fanatic birthday party
I believe we did use the Fanatic zip line from that day.
Yes.
To lead into Millwood's no-hitter.
Well, there you go. The Fanatic gets some love.
All right, Tom, let's go, since we have video, right, basically the unofficial historian of the Phillies, let's go back, like way back, right? So this is their video yearbook, right? So again, go on Phillies YouTube channel, Bedlam at the Bank. It is about an hour and 15 minutes or so.
70 minutes.
And a fantastic, I mean, really, if you want to recreate or relive last year, all the great moments, I mean, I've saw it now several times and just get goosebumps, right? You forget how many great moments there were, of which we'll go through. But talk about, way back when, what was the first iteration of this?
Well, the genesis of this, we were talking about in the 70s, NFL Films used to do the Phillies highlight film, and it was a half hour long. And I remember you could never see it anywhere. It would be on once in January at like 8 o'clock at night. And if you missed it,
And you couldn't buy it anywhere.
No.
Vid, can I just say my vivid memory as a kid going to our sports banquets, at the end of the year, and all the kids would get a trophy for, basketball, football, or baseball. And the highlight and usually they bring in a Philly to, sign autographs. But the highlight was always they would show the video. the video, you know, highlight film, and it was narrated by John Facenda, and always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Right.
You know,
the voice of God. Nobody plays better defense than the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah, I mean, it's like
frozen tundra of Veterans Stadium,
and it's sort of like, yeah, you're right. Nobody does. You know, like, it got you going.
Oh my gosh! And
but so we were saying, no control there because it was all parceled out a little bit.
Well, they would come over and do it, and I'm sure they would. It would have to be approved by the Phillies, but
Vince, you're saying like in the 50s and the 60s, like there was no highlight film. It really started in the 70s.
I'd say it started in like 72. There was a video one. I don't know. I think maybe Channel 6 did it. I'm not sure. But then in 74 through 81, I believe it was NFL Films.
And then Mike Tolan took over?
Well, what it was MLB Productions took over.
Okay.
And I think every team got a highlight film. And Mike Tolan, who had graduated from Stanford but was a Philly guy, worked for MLB Productions and always did our stuff and was very close to David and the marketing people. And then in 1987.
Well, hold on. Go back and tell Mike Tolan. We've had him on our podcast before. Mike Tolan went on to do a lot of things. Yeah. Summer Catch and Arliss. And
he's now movie producer and director and has, you know, has had a brilliant career.
He did the
Hollywood,
Michael Jordan
for the last
documentary.
Right, for the last almost 30 years. So Mike started his own company, left MLB Productions, and proposed to the Phillies, hey, Mike Schmidt's five home runs away from his 500th. How about we do a documentary following Schmidt up until he hits the 500? And the Phillies said, yeah, go ahead, give it a try. And Mike wanted a camera in the clubhouse for that. And so they said, well, you can ask Dan Stevenson if he'll do it. So they rented me a broadcast camera, and I would get down in the dugout whenever Mike was at bat, just in case he hit it. And he hit two of them while I was down.
And let me ask a question. Sure. At that point, just as far as access, right, what was the vibe like in the dugout from the player's perspective that a camera is like, was that intrusive at the time
I think they knew because there had been a crew following Schmitty all through spring training, and a lot of those guys got to be in this production, so they were cool with it, and they knew me, so they figured it's okay. And so no I didn't hear any complaining about it at all. But then when Mike went on the road, they had to hire a crew to follow him. And, of course, it ended up in Pittsburgh where he hits his 500th home run. What it wound up being was a great movie. And it was a great documentary about Schmitty. But the key to it was narrated by a teammate, which was Glenn Wilson, telling the story of his friend Mike Schmidt instead of an announcer telling the story. And that's what sort of stuck with everybody, how successful that storytelling element was, to have it told by a friend or a guy that was there in the first person. And so the following year is 1988, and Mike pitched to the Phillies, we would like to do the highlight film instead of MLB Productions, and we're going to call it the Video Home Companion. So 1988 was the first one of these, and it was Harry and Whitey as themselves talking about the Phillies instead of as announcers. The following year was Nick Leyva. Then we had Tug did it because it was the 10th anniversary of the 80 Phillies. And it really wound up being a good formula for storytelling. In 1991, I approached Mike and I said, I think I can edit this myself. I know I'm doing all the shooting, but I'd like to be the editor too. And David Montgomery said, go ahead, give it a shot. And that, as we all know, David liked to grow things and nurture things and within the place. So all of a sudden the Phillies are doing this in-house, which was,
Was this the first of any ballpark, or is any other club?
I don't think so.
In Major League Baseball doing this?
I don't think so. I don't think to this day any other club. And it's interesting because over the years we've been approached, like I believe the one year the Cardinals, Jack Buck passed away, and then one of their players passed away. And all of a sudden they realize, and they made the postseason, and they realized how much emotion was a part of that season they should document. And they called up and they asked me if I could do it. And I said, no, I'm working for the Ayatollah Khomeini that week. You know, it's like the Cardinals, they're the enemy. I'm not helping them.
That's not happening.
Right. it was interesting that other teams would reach out. And I said, you know, MLB Productions will help you.
Right. But
it's not that thing. The Nationals called us a couple years ago, I think the first year they made the playoffs. And I said, I can't really help you. You have to start it in spring training. You can't just say, oh, we're going to put highlights together from the year. It just won't work like that. So, as far as I know, we are the only team that does it in-house.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of narrators over the years.
Everybody.
Who are some of your favorites?
You know what? The funny thing is, okay, 91 was the first year I did this, and our first decision was Kruk. And I'm thinking, this could go one way or the other. He was one take John.
Nice.
He understood exactly what the script meant, what it took, and he was excellent. And I did not go along with his, you know, his public
persona,
demeanor.
Yep.
I mean, he was really good at it. I said, boy, this guy, he's going to wind up in the media when this is all over. And he obviously did.
Yeah.
And he's been a go-to guy for me over the years for a lot of different stuff. But he was great. And he understood what we were doing. And we got through it brilliantly. And it was fun.
Yeah.
Now, I talked about access before. It's interesting because you have a great relationship with the players, or you always have, and they trust you as one of them, right? So, you know, I know in 93 you did, you know, you in LA did some stuff on the beach, right? And I mean, but they're only going to do that if they trust the camera guy,
right,
or the storyteller.
They know that this stuff's not going to pop up anywhere else.
Right.
And so, yeah, we've never had a problem with the players. And the only, you know, problem is when I got moved out of there, really to start doing this more, Kevin Camascioli took over for me in the clubhouse as the everyday video guy. And I would be in there like half the time. So the guys knew me, but they didn't know me on an everyday basis. And then Kevin wound up traveling with him. But like, for example, when Cole Hamels pitched his no hitter in Chicago, Kevin knew that, okay, I'm going to get to what's going on in the clubhouse afterwards. And he shot. So he knew that he could shoot some really good stuff. There half a dozen times when Charlie got a milestone and the players would present him with something, and Kevin would shoot that in the clubhouse, which was always fun. But no, we've never had a problem with the player saying, I don't want that here. There have been guys that have been traded over here to look at me like, who's that guy?
Right.
And somebody say, just ask Dutch. You know, Dutch says it's okay.
He says
and,
it's okay.
And that was the end of it.
And there it is. Well, you mentioned Kruk being a good narrator. I'm sure there are guys who maybe took more than one take.
Yeah, there were, but for the most,
for the most part,
I was surprised how good most of these guys, and they get it. It takes about an hour to do, and what we used to do is have the voiceover done at NFL Films, which was an excuse to go there, which everybody wants to do. So that was fun. We'd go over there, and first thing you see is a giant picture of Harry on the wall, and you know, we'd get the tour from the Ed Sable that would show us all around.
Awesome.
Or Steve Stable. And it was easy to get guys to
do. Well, when we did Channel Surfing Fanatic, was the first video we did together. And we went over to NFL Films to edit it. And, John, it's like a dream come true.
Yeah.
Video Dan and I are sitting in director chairs. We have these guys who are in front of us who are editing this thing or putting in sound effects and some of the music. Sound effects and some of the music. And and it's just like, no, let's put the, you know, little sound effect here. You know, at one point, like the Fanatics ATV blows up. Yeah, let's spark it. And it was just like bing, bang, boom. But we just felt like, you know, Hollywood moguls, me and Video Dan, you know. Yeah. And the Emmys are all over the wall. And it's just really cool.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story. And one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Now, I guess the other part as far as making the video itself, now you said you can't just put together highlights, right?
Right.
So guys like Mike Lecision and Sean Rainey and, you know, guys in that video area, even from the get-go in spring training, I remember in spring training, you used to, you know, actually document a lot of, like, if Angelo Cataldi on WIP was interviewing Dave Montgomery or interviewing a player, you know, oftentimes that would be in the highlight reel because they'd make some prediction or they'd make some comment that eventually would come true. So, but you guys are kind of documenting everything, right? Every little storyline.
Right.
And I'm guaranteeing you, I guess you're cataloging everything so you can refer back to it quickly, but you really can't, you got
to
wait till the whole season plays out.
To the last out, because
think about the tone of the, and I said this last podcast, think about the tone. If all of a sudden we don't win one of the games in Houston and we don't make the playoffs, well, that's a whole different tone, whole different story.
You just get more fanatic, that's all.
Right, you get more fanatic. But so you got to wait till the whole,
narrator.
You got to wait till the whole season plays out.
Yeah.
And then you kind of create the story and you're the one that basically creates that story.
Right.
Right.
And to give you a good sideline on that, in 2008, you know, obviously we know something special's going on. And I'm like, okay, who's going to be my narrator? And we'd use Jimmy, Chase, and Ryan. They've each done it multiple times, so I didn't want to use them. And I'm looking, and I'm like, Brad Lidge has
Brad
a great
Lidge.
Voice. And I said, I got to ask him to do it. And I said, but suppose I ask him and he blows a save.
Ooh, yeah, right.
So I can't ask him while the regular season's going on. And so then we get to the first round of the playoffs. I said, I can't ask him now. You know, we just got past Milwaukee. I said, so we get to the Dodgers, and I'm like, I have to ask him before the World Series. So finally we beat the Dodgers, come back here, and I said, Brad, I have a big favor to ask you. He goes, what? I said, I'd like you to narrate the Phillies highlight film this year. And he's like, oh, you don't want me. And I mean, I just got here and this guy's here forever. I said, well, it's kind of, I want your point of view as a guy who's been
outsider, right?
Playing against this. Now he's in the middle of it. How, you know, he goes, why don't you use Pat? And I said, Pat Burrell. I said, well, Pat's already done it before. And we kind of knew this Pat wasn't going to be back with us. I said, that would be awkward to have him narrate the highlight film. And then he's a free agent right after that. So Brad agreed to do it, and I'm like, okay, please don't blow a save in the World Series.
Why did you have to ask him before the World Series? Couldn't you just wait until the season
ended?
Because
I didn't know they might all disappear.
Okay,
And suppose he said no, and then I'd be like, I got to ask somebody else.
Really scrambling,
And that did happen a couple of years later. But he said, well, I'm not going to be back in Philly. I said, well, what we'll do is you'll go to a recording studio in Denver and I'll be on the phone listening to you. And I'd never done that before. I was really nervous. That wouldn't work. But I did not start writing it until the day after the parade. And the parade to me is the biggest part of the story.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
And so I knew they wanted it finished by December 1st and this is October 31st. I'm like, all right, I got 1 month to do literally 99% of this. And I was like, all right, it's just going to be a lot of all-nighters. And that's what happened. And so we wrote the script, sent it to Brad. He did the narration. And I could hear on the phone, I said, it sounds pretty good, but I won't know till I hear it. We got the recording back. I'm like, oh, my God, he nailed it.
Crushed
it. Great job.
Yeah.
Now, how many times, and it could be there, but have you had players push back on maybe the voice, right? Or how you're saying it or how you're, right? Because everyone has their own voice and style.
Right.
And so you send something and I'm sure thinking about their voice and style.
Yep.
But they could have their own feedback.
Right. Well, it's funny because I sent Kyle the script. Usually I don't give him the script ahead of time, but Kyle asked for it. And this is Kyle Schwarber who narrated this year's. And I said to him, and I've never met Kyle Schwarber because we had to do it on the phone as well. We were trying to get him back to Philly, but he couldn't.
And he's in Ohio.
He's in Ohio, so we found a studio in Hawaii, for him to do the voiceover. So we're just talking on the phone. I said, if there's anything you don't want to say, he goes, there's a couple things I'm not comfortable with. I said, good, we'll just change it while we're doing it. And that's what happened. And it was minor stuff, but it was, you know, it made the show better, and he was more comfortable with it. And usually if a guy says something, I'll say, okay, well, say it this way and we'll do it that way. But he was terrific, I thought.
It was 8 in the morning, too, right?
Didn't it real early in the morning, which I couldn't believe he wanted to do that, but I can barely talk at 8 in the morning. But
he was great.
You know what's funny? Like, we have Fantasy Camp, which is starting, I guess, in about, 10 days or so. But it's funny, when we think of legends, you know, the former players that come down to Fantasy Camp, you really got to think about, you know, what they're, you know, what people think of him as far as, you know, former players, but more importantly, it's, you know, will people connect with him? Will they enjoy themselves at the bar and talk to, you know, Fred so-and-so from, you know, South Jersey and this and that, you know, with not blowing them off, someone that really gets it, right? And in the same vein, you're the guy you're picking for that. You've got to work with him. They also have to be flexible. They got to be have a good personality, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably very just like that. You're trying to find someone that fits that.
Yeah, and we really haven't had too many, you know, guys that I said, oh, this wasn't the right choice.
Right.
I was telling Tom there was one that I think it wasn't fair to the narrator for me to ask him to do this, and that was Bobby Abreu, because he didn't speak English as his primary language. And in 2004, we opened the ballpark, and Bobby had a great year. He had 30 for 30 and made the All-Star team. And I'm like, well, Bobby should narrate, but I can't put him out there by himself. So maybe we'll get Bobby and Jimmy to have a conversation. Those two really liked each other to begin with. So we actually recorded it in this building for the first time. We had a little sound booth down there. And I knew right away Bobby wasn't comfortable with some of the stuff I'd written because he couldn't pronounce things and he didn't understand. So we had a little segment. If the phrase was really awkward, he'd do it in Spanish and we'd put Bobby's Spanish lesson screen. And I actually watched it last night. He did a great job considering we had asked him something really different.
Did that happen to be the year that Fanatic had SpongeBob SquarePants on the back of his four-wheeler? And SpongeBob, they're going up the right field ramp, and SpongeBob does a face plant, and Fanatic doesn't know that. And then the game got delayed, or the inning got delayed, because Bobby Abreu was laughing so hard watching SpongeBob get scraped off the concrete floor.
Getting scraped off. It didn't make the highlight film, Dan. Music is a big part always of your music videos, Dan. And I love your process. You know, you have a long commute back and forth to the and you that's what you do. You listen to music
over and over again.
Yeah,
how you listen to stuff outside of Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce takes a vacation for like the month of August, September.
Video Dan purposely didn't get Sirius Satellite Radio because he knew if he got it, he'd get the Springsteen channel, and that's all he would listen to 24/7.
It's actually true.
I know. Yeah. So, how were you happy with the music in this year's video? And I want to also ask you about that last song that's played during the credits.
Well, what happens is, I remember I started editing these things in 91. That was the year that Kruk began. And I remember talking to Mike Tolan's guys that had done it the year before. I said, I didn't even know. I said, where do you get the music? And they said, we use a company called APM, American Production Music. And the guy said to me, he goes, it's stuff you would never listen to. And I'm like, I can't be right. And it was all on CDs. I said, there's got to be stuff in there that, you know, that's listenable. And I like the music to help move along the narrative. So you had to get CDs from them. They'd mail them to you. And I listened to them in my car on the way back. I said, all right, this is good. And then NFL Films Library opened up like a couple of years later. So we had access, and that's the greatest music in the world. And we had access to that. So, and plus they would do like a theme and then repeat the theme in different instruments and different speeds and different moods. And so I always try to start with that every year. Like this year, the music you hear at the very beginning is, and it was just something they had just come out with a couple months before, and we use that for 60 seconds, and then we bring it back during the postseason. So the listener can, you know, get a reference and, okay, okay, that music, okay. And it signals, this is when good stuff is happening.
Right.
And so, I listen to a lot of that stuff and try to figure out what's going to work, and you never know. Until you edit it, if it works or not. And if I may interject here, we were talking about while we were doing this, the process now is that I write it and I figure out the music and I figure out what plays I want it. And we separate it into like 3-minute segments or 4-minute segments. I send it up to the editors that are on staff here now. And we knew that the postseason was just such great stuff. And I told Sean Rainey, I said, I want to do this first, so we make sure we get the ending right. So Mike Lecision was the editor, and I would send him stuff, and he would send it to me back. I'm going, oh, my God, this is great. I mean, he really did an incredible job. Awesome. And one of the things I noticed was it seemed like the network coverage was better. I don't remember guys on the bench going as crazy as they used to. Like in 2008, guys didn't jump up.
Yeah,
and
it was.
And
I think that's why the city bonded with his team,
right?
Because they just showed that they had fun and that they really liked each
right.
other.
So I'm watching this. I'm getting excited. You know, the only thing, because I'm not full time anymore. I watch all the games on television, and obviously they were captivating and it was great. But when I saw the stuff that these guys had shot, and then the way the network was shooting. And then putting all that together, I'm like, wow, this is so much fun to watch, let alone work on it. And it was just, so I got to give hats off to Mike. He did an unbelievable job. There were four other editors on the thing, and everybody did a great job. But Mike sort of took the back end of it and made it his own and really did an awesome job.
Even when you take the playoffs away, right, let's just look at the regular season. There were so many storylines that I'm sure you're following throughout the year. Yeah. You know, Bryce Harper getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Girardi getting fired. Rob Thompson, team going on fire. Yeah. You know, all the individual moments, whether it's, you know, I remember one of the most exciting for me. Remember Gary Stubbs hits the walk-off home run on a Sunday, right? Bomb that ball.
Yeah.
Or Bryson Stott's walk-off home run. The emergence of
the
daycare.
With the kid praying.
Right.
The kid praying, right?
What a great story. The emergence of the daycare, right? And then the bullpen getting better.
Right.
And again, this is all before we even get to the playoffs. And then the playoffs obviously writes itself. And so many unbelievable. I mean, Reese Hoskins, you know, the home run. And the loudest I've ever heard the ballpark. He slams a bat down.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper's, you know, eighth inning home
Cassiano's run. Catches.
Yeah. Cassiano's catches.
Yeah. Great catches. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? JT's inside the park home run.
Yeah. You had a lot to work with, video.
Yeah, it was actually easy. You know, like I said, the years when the Fanatic is the star of the highlight film, it's not easy. Nothing against the Fanatic.
Of course.
But there is no story, so you got to make one up. This time you didn't have to make one up.
Well, and you had to show the downtimes, too, because you know, I know for me, the nadir, the bottom of the bottom was...
Swept
I think,
by the Cubs?
Right. Well, the Cubs and also the Giants.
Right.
Remember, the Giants, we got swept by the Giants.
After the All-Star game.
Right, and that was Gabe Kapler coming into town. And I remember we had Top Gun night. And Miles Teller threw out the first pitch and blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah.
And I remember I was going to walk him out of the Diamond Club at the end, and John Middleton was down there. And John's great as far as going all around the ballpark and engaging with our fans. And some fan got into it with John, and you know, and John had restraint. But I remember we were walking out of there, and Miles said to John, I said, how do you deal with this, John? This is, you know, fans can be tough in this city.
Yeah.
And he's like, and John is, again, gets it. If anybody gets it, he's like, wow, we're the greatest fans, you know, I'd be upset too.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the perfect response.
Yep.
And then I think from that point on, I think Joe Girardi got fired like not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
But just the ebbs and flow of this year were just, it's a perfect story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another thing we didn't touch on was the Alec Bohm incident, which I thought was tremendous.
Yeah.
That he had the foresight to say, all right, I said something really stupid.
Yep.
I'm going to own up to it immediately.
Yep, and fans still embrace that.
And then the next day, they gave him a standing.
Yep.
Oh, I was even surprised at that.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Schmitty moment,
Right.
You know, when he came out. He ripped the fans, and then he came out with a wig the next day. But it reminded me of that. But you were talking about some of the people. I know it's a team effort with our video services department. You know, the technology has changed.
It's unreal, man.
And I know, you know, you used to be the analog guy and you would have, you know, closets full
of reel
to reel and tapes.
Yeah.
Now that it's digital, I mean, this idea of, you know, a guy here being able, Mike Lecision being able to edit something here and send it to you. How has the technology changed the process?
It's great because, like you said, I remember the first couple of years I had to do this, the only place you could edit at Veterans Stadium was in the Fanavision booth. So we're going down a stretch drive, and I'm trying to put this thing together. The only time I can get is after the game in Philadelphia. So I would have to get boxes and boxes of tapes and put them on a cart from the basement, haul them up to Fanavision at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and work all night. And it got a little creepy in there, man. You're in Fantavision, yeah. And it's a glass
2
window,
o'clock in the morning.
And you're realizing if there's
feral cat.
Murder, yeah.
I'm
thinking
cats.
More like Jason from Friday the 13th. So he sees that I'm the only living person there, and he's making his way around.
That's only Spanky. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Spanky.
But, you know, it was okay because I was locked in there until I had to use the men's room. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I wonder what's in there waiting to chop my head off or whatever.
So now you got your feet up, you got a beer in your hand, and you're in your living room, you know, your man cave.
Well, this is the
pressing
way
buttons
it.
Instead of
pressing buttons.
This is how you do it. This is great. Yeah, but it is amazing that you can email pieces of video back and forth to each other and say, okay, change this, change that. And it's done.
It's so quick, just to, just by pushing buttons. Now, the technology is great. And you mentioned, you watched a lot of the postseason, at home.
Right.
It's some of those video pieces that the networks put together are awesome.
Yes,
they are. And I think it's the technology, allows them to do it with quick editing and all that. But man, and the shots of the players going crazy. They seem like there's a camera everywhere.
Yeah.
And the quality of the video is great too.
Yeah.
Well,
it's funny because I noticed that the first two games in St. Louis, there weren't any replays. I'm like, what's going on here? And it was not covered well. Like from on the field. Like, I'm waiting for replays of shots, and they're not there. And I guess because there were so many games at the start of the playoffs that the network resources were limited. But, boy, by the time we got to the San Diego series, the footage that was coming back was just incredible. And it was from every angle and everywhere.
You get to add more and more cameras the deeper you go into the playoffs, right?
And all the handheld stuff that our guys got and the stuff our guys got in the locker rooms – celebrations were just awesome.
Wow, that's the best part of this year's, I think, best part of this year's highlight films are all the celebrations.
Yeah.
At one point, I think Topper's like, JT, how many more games we got to go? And he goes, four, Topper, wham!
Yeah.
and they all take the photo on the field and just,
like,
and how that song, Dancing on My Own, came around.
Yeah, it was a special year that kept getting more and more special. I'm like, wow, this could end
this
up
could be
in
a great
parade.
Movie.
Could end up in a parade, and it really could have.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, too, that and I know someone who's a longtime Phillies employee, it's so great to hear that, when Trey Turner's press conference, when he said that I saw the electricity through the TV and I wanted to be part of that, as Philadelphians and as Philadelphia employees and Philadelphia fans, we're so used to getting the negative, all this snowballs in Santa and blah, 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 right?
Right.
And you're sick and tired of, the Philly fans are the worst.
Yep.
And you know what? We're the best.
Yeah.
And I think that's when people saw right there how Philadelphia fans are the best.
Yep.
Where now we have people wanting to come here, really pushing each other out of the way to try to get here, right? Because they saw what this city can do.
Yeah.
And it was covered well by, TV did a great job covering that and showed Philadelphia going nuts.
Yeah, and I like the Fox guys, with Big Poppy, and they were into it. They were like, wow, this place is fun, man.
Right,
yeah.
This is like, and they were all like, it's going to be really hard for anybody to beat this team. And
I was watching MLB Network because, again, I think we had Miles going to go on one of the broadcasts.
Yeah, the early.
And so he goes on there.
Saw that.
And it was cool because Schwarber comes over and Castellanos comes over and they brought him up on the stage and he's messing with Miles and he's, they end up interviewing them. And this is like, an hour and a half before a huge game.
Yeah.
Right? A World Series game. And they're just kind of messing around. Like, I'm like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, we had Gargano as a guest last week, and he was talking about he's good friends with A-Rod, and A-Rod's like, you got to put me on your radio show because I want to tell the people of Philadelphia how great I think they are.
You can tell he dug it.
Yep. Yeah.
And in the World Series in 2009, I don't know if you remember, we were kind of throwing at his head a lot, and our fans were like, that's what we want. And I remember at one point A-Rod stopped the game and told the umpire, they're throwing at me.
Yeah,
and the umpire said, get back in the box. And the place went. So I didn't know how A-Rod would have felt about it, but I think now that he sees it from...
I was asking about the music, too. Particular song. That song at the end of the...
So what happens is we do have this huge library of production music, and it's gotten a lot bigger from back in 91. And what I try to do is never to repeat a piece of music. So I'll just take music that's brand new starting in November of whatever the year before was. So there's a lot of vocal stuff in there that I'm like, I wonder where this comes from. So I'll listen to it. Now, you can get the music without the vocals if you want. But there's vocals in there. And then every once in a while, I'll listen. I'm like, well, that fits with what's going on out there. So this thing about...
We rise?
We rise again after we fall is the most important part of the journey. After we fall, we rise. And I'm like, that's kind of what happened
this
year.
So that was part of the...
That was production music.
The production music.
Yeah, that was not...
Here I was thinking, because I know there have been years past where you really want a song. And, of course, 1993, the Spin Doctors had Two Princes. Yeah. And that's the song that they always played after wins. And I thought maybe this year if we went after Dancing on Our Own,
I believe they did. They started, and it's a real complicated...
Yeah.
Thing as to where it's going to be shown, and where, you know, there's certain elements where if you show
how
here,
much it's going to cost, it's all depending on that, right?
Like, it's not going to cost much if you show it here, but if you show it there, and if I think if it goes on the internet. It's you know, I know our scoreboard people have to watch what they play out there now if it's part of the broadcast, you know, like then
I know,
and on the internet, if you're
right, so there's rights fees to everything, which is kind of a shame, but.
Well, that song was great. It was perfect for the
end. Really was. Yeah.
Really was.
Well, and I got to say, you have a very special talent because, you know, obviously the video and the editing and all that, and you got to be a baseball fan. Yeah, I mean, you're very good as far as knowing music off the top of your head and saying, you know what, this Moody Blues song would be a great lyrics for, you know, so-and-so's comeback, whatever, right?
Got to come to an end. Jackson Brown singing when Pope passed away and when Tug passed away. Video Dan did a great Jackson Brown song to that video that he put together. Awesome.
So Tom, if you were Video's job,
go ahead.
His job, right? Would you,
every song?
Would Jackson Brown be like in every Phillies yearbook?
Absolutely. Right? I'd horseshoe it in there, John. You know that. Video Dan, I know you're not here as much, but we got a massive Fanavision board going in this year. I mean, that thing's going to be huge.
That's cool.
And the quality, too, is going to be great. Amazing. I think it's going to be just like, you know, being in your basement. Yep. So, we're pretty excited about that.
And so, speaking of technology, I mean, what technology do you see coming down the road that, you know, now everyone has players and everybody has cell phones and they can, and the cell phone quality for video, like, have you thought about incorporating, you know, I don't know, like players, like videos that they have that they've taken, or is that something that,
I mean, I it's funny cause I really don't know any of these guys. The only two guys I know on the team are Reese and, Aaron Nola, because, once the pandemic hit, nobody could go in there. So I don't know anybody. This guy, I've got to meet Bryce a couple times in 19, but I don't have a relationship with him like the old days. Like the old days, I could sit there and say, "Hey, what did you just shoot on your phone? Let me use that."
The old days, you go hunting with Steve Bedrosian, and skiing with Lefty.
Yeah.
Can we ask you what you're working on now? I know you kind of are the Phillies historian,
right?
And I knew you had some projects that you were banging around. Is there anything that you could tell us, secret?
I haven't gotten green lighted on any of it, but I would love to do a biography series
of us.
That would be
behind the scenes of backstage of Burgoyne and Brage.
But I will put your Harry imitations when I do the Harry biography. Because I get asked more of that from fans. Like, when are you going to do a biography of Harry Callis? And I'm like, it's my goal to somehow get that done. And there's a bunch. I want to do a Dutch one. I want to do Larry Boa, who's an amazing character in Phillies history. Tug, his life is an incredible story. And not to mention Jimmy Chase and Ryan, who will be, you know, on our wall.
Wait, when you do the Tug bio, make sure to tell the story of when Tom was doing the music and Tug came in and said, "Hey, my son is a budding country superstar. You know, can you play this tape, cassette tape?" And Tom's like, "No problem, Tugger." And Tug leaves
right
and goes,
in the trash can.
"Yeah, right." And he flips it right in the trash can.
Well, the same thing happened to me. Tug comes up to me and says, "Hey, I got this cassette." I'm like, "Really? Well, you know, this is my son. He's a country singer." I'm like, "Mark is a country singer?" Right. He goes, "No, it's my other son." I'm like, "You have another son?" Like, I didn't know. And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Same exact reaction. Like, dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Somebody sits in their house and records a little country
song. Exactly. But then look what happened.
Next thing you know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, the doing the biographies, I know your world opened up when you were doing the Whitey biography, when you had got access to all those home movies
home
and the things that he shot.
That was like, I said, okay, now we really have to do something.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, all my life, all I've heard about, Tilden, Nebraska, boys, my grade school teacher. And like, it was like, I wonder what this place is like, you know. And so all of a sudden, there's Tilden, Nebraska on my television set and kids playing football out in the street. And I'm like, oh, we got to go there now. We have to see this place.
Right.
And so Rich Jr. and I drove out there we went with a team to Kansas City and drove, it was about 6 hours, through the heartland. And I said, okay, we got to do this biography now. And it's just so cool to be. And so, you know, I'd love to go to Dutch's hometown.
Yeah, that's right.
Darren Dalton would be a great one.
Yeah, such a good one.
Yeah. In Kansas. So there's a few things that are on my bucket list I hope I get to do. But.
So Mike Tolan went from doing the videos to becoming a major Hollywood star. But you're more down to earth, right? I know. I'm kidding about Mike. I love Mike. Mike's totally down to earth. But you've chosen not to go the Hollywood route.
Well, yeah,
you've
gone that. Would want to.
You've gone the Jersey Shore route,
exactly.
Right?
I mean, the weird thing is, like Mike, I grew up as a huge Phillies fan, and I'm in the middle of the clubhouse. Why would I want to leave? You know, it's like this is. I don't need a mansion and a, you know. A sports car and stuff. I this is good right
I
here.
I love it.
All right, one other question. You mentioned, you know, doing a, well, you got to do a Charlie Manuel documentary too.
The only problem is there's no real footage of Charlie in his youth. You know, I mean, there's just the legend. I wish I had like the
Japanese baseball footage?
I don't know.
We said it on the last podcast. I gotta see that clip when Charlie charges the mound and the guy runs away from him.
Yeah, that would be priceless.
I would love to see that.
I can't blame that guy.
How about like anybody like from 2008 on? Could you see?
Oh, I want to do it. Jimmy, like, Chase, and Ryan are the guys. Those three, because we have footage. We went back to Chase's batting cage where he went when he was a kid.
Right.
And the guy that owned it then owns it now. He said he would come in with $20. And he'd spend that in the first hour, and I'd just let him keep going. Mm. And he'd stay there for 5 hours and hit baseballs. And I'm like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy has great footage of him in high school.
Yeah, basketball player.
Well, yeah, but he hit a walk-off home run to win the state tournament for his high school team. And we have footage of it. It's like gold. And then I went out to Ryan Howard's hometown the day he was named Rookie of the Year. And we drove around his high school and talked to his teachers. And so I have all this stuff of them that I can, you know, use that before they became big star footage.
More footage. I've never asked you this. What is your favorite movie of all time? And what is your favorite sports movie of all time?
Okay, well, it's the same. It's Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
And it was, and I remember, if you had told me what Field of Dreams is about before I went to see it, I probably wouldn't have gone. Like ghosts coming in a cornfield. Right. What? I remember going to see it. It was the first date with my wife. And I didn't know what the movie was about. And I'm watching this movie. And at the end of the movie, I'm bawling. And I'm like, this is my last date with her. She's going to look at me and say, this guy's, you know, a sissy.
Yeah.
And the lights come on. And
sorry, audience out there. Dan is being insensitive.
And all of a sudden, the lights come on, and there's all these like giant biker guys.
All bawling. Everybody's crying.
And I'm like, see, it's not just me. And she's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't. This is a father son thing.
And is that why it's your favorite? It's just that whole message. Yeah. It's the way it was all done. Yeah. The story.
And once again, the music was great. Good in that.
Yeah.
And the music moved you along, and it was, and so that sort of stuck in my head, like how powerful it
video. Was. I saw it with my dad for the first time in a movie theater. We never went to the movies together. Yeah. My mom was down the shore. It was just me and my dad, you know, for like a week, and you know, being bachelors, and hey, let's go see this movie, and the lights come on, yeah. and I'm a mess. Yeah. And I think my dad, you know, he's from the greatest generation, and, you know. And
my dad didn't react either. He's like, well, I don't get it. And I'm like, never mind.
Exactly.
You don't need to get it. I do.
I never saw a movie with my dad.
No, yeah, yeah. Never. There weren't many, not like that.
You know, I think I might have saw Rocky. Way back when.
We'd go to the drive-ins for like Love Bug or some chitty chitty bang bang, but you know, the drive-in. But
you know what's funny is I'll walk in my house and Field of Dreams will be on just randomly on TV, and I'll walk through and my kids will be there. Mom, Dad's here. He's gonna start crying.
All right. Well, you're gonna give this quiz, Johnny Boy.
Well, I hope again. He's our first repeat customer, and he had a quiz way back when. You can go back to former podcast and video. But before we get to the quiz, you said you've been consuming a lot of our past podcasts.
Yes.
So do you have some favorites of our past podcasts?
Flaws, actually. Yes. No, they've all been really good. It's funny because I listed them. Okay, I want to hear this. I want to hear that. I want to hear. And I wound up listening to pretty much most of them.
Nice. Yeah. I was just with Kelly Addario downstairs.
Well,
and Jim Buck. And Jim Buck was down there yesterday. And Kelly said, I was a guest on the podcast. I told Jim. I said, we had a bleep half of it.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much. It was close. Kelly brought her attitude with her.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. All right. Video. So we did your video, or we did a quiz before, right? And you did very well. Remember,
you were
right?
My wheelhouse.
Right? And I don't even have a Bruce Springsteen. Yeah.
Good.
So there's no Bruce Springsteen here.
What's his name?
What?
The match game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think the
Charles Nelson Reilly. Yes, I can't
say
that
anymore. May have run its course that.
Nipsey Russell.
It's been
a
4-year inside joke.
All right.
And Anthony Gargano last week, he didn't know who Gene Rayburn or Charles Nelson Reilly was. And
how do you not know Charles Nelson Reilly?
The dude wrote his whole life. Like, he wasn't watching TV. He's not a big TV guy. He's all about sports and writing and talking about it.
Vintage, I think you're going to do very well. 8 questions, multiple choice, and you have to get at least 6. Okay. And Tom, what does he win? Something Fanatic related.
We'll get him a copy of Bedlam at the Bat. Oh, wait. You can get it for free.
That's right. Yeah. speaking of which, before we get into that, so I go on to watch it on YouTube, and I find out all the old video yearbooks are on there.
Oh. It's the greatest. The Phillies have a YouTube channel, and it's awesome.
So
it's
for anybody who's curious about, like, Bobby Abreu not doing it well, you can watch that. It's the Phillies video yearbook, whatever that year was, and they all have different titles, but I think they have pretty much since 98 on.
Yeah.
And it's fun to go back and watch those.
Absolutely.
When you're not listening to
some of the Fanatic old videos that we did together video.
Yeah.
And you got to tell the story. You went to pump your gas the other day.
The guy that pumps my gas always says, are you guys doing a video yearbook this year? And he asked me last year, and last year was the first year since I had retired, that I said, I'm not sure yet. And we came up with this arrangement where I'd write it and send it in here, and these guys, and it worked. The year wasn't good, but it was good to get the bugs out of it for this year, so it was perfect. So, but I think we showed it on NBC Sports, and I said, that's where you can watch it. So it wasn't really easily accessible. And I pulled up to get gas. I said, hey, we did a video yearbook, and you can watch it on YouTube. He goes, great. As soon as I'm done pumping your gas, I'm going to go in there and watch it. And I'm like, wow, that's right. It's that easy.
Yeah. So people all over the country are not working. They're in their offices watching.
I hope so.
Well, right now we are at 114,000 people that have viewed it already.
It's awesome.
Hopefully it'll get even bigger. So, all right.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brazier's Quiz.
First question.
Yes.
Using a minimum of having played at least 30 games as a 2022 Philly, right? Who is the youngest active player? Who is the youngest active player? Is it Nick Maton, Matt Vierling, Brandon Marsh, or Bryson Stott?
Brandon Marsh.
Brandon Marsh is correct. Did you know that?
Yes. I watch TV, Brett.
All right, that's
I
good.
Follow this team.
Well, let's see how much you watch TV video. All right. Number two, Bryce Harper had 22 hits in the postseason. Who was second on the team with 14 hits? Was it JT? Was it Alec Bohm? Was it Gene Segura? Or was it Reese Hoskins?
I'm going to go Reese.
You know what? I've been doing this quiz to some people around here, and that's a popular answer. But no, JT.
JT,
14 hits.
Huh. 14 hits. He had a great postseason. Huh.
All right. Which celebrity did not take part in a Fanatics skit during the playoffs? Okay. Which celebrity did not take place, take part in a Fanatics skit during
Charles
the playoffs?
Nelson Riley.
Jason Kelce, Tyrese Maxey, Sherry Oteri, Miles Teller.
Hmm.
Jason Kelce, Tyrese Maxey, Sherry Oteri.
I was going to say Sherry Oteri. That was on the road, right? You saw her. I didn't.
No, Sherry Oteri did the cheerleading
scene. Yeah, the perfect cheer with the Fanatic.
With the Fanatic.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So, Sherry was here.
Tyrese?
We tried to get Tyrese. We thought we had him.
Because he did it during the season.
He did the in-game broadcast.
Okay. Yep.
Of which that wasn't on the video.
Yeah. Nope.
Right, that's kind of in a slower time.
Yeah,
that would be a moment.
That would be.
But obviously, we a lot of things hit the cutting room floor.
Right,
Tyrese.
All right, I'm gonna give you a choice. Do you want because I've kind of going back and forth. Do you want a baseball question or do you want something about Kyle Schwarber?
Baseball.
All right, with a minimum of 7 innings pitched, who had the best postseason ERA of 1.17? A minimum of 7 innings pitched. Was it Ranger Suarez, Connor Brogdon, Sir Anthony Dominguez, or Dave Robertson?
Connor Brogdon.
Dave Robertson.
Oh.
And Connor Brogdon was a now they all had Ranger at 1.23, Connor at 2.08,
right.
And Sir Anthony at 1.69. But Dave Robertson, 1.17. How about that? Okay. You know, I'm gonna give you a bonus question. I'm gonna give you 9 questions since you've been missing a couple.
Obviously,
of
I haven't been paying attention.
All right, this is a bonus question video. So now it's 9. I lied. It's not 8, 9.
Okay.
Narrator Kyle Schwarber played baseball at University of Indiana. Which former or current major leaguer did not play baseball at Indiana? Mickey Morandini, Ted Klazuski, Alex Dickerson, or Bobby Thigpen?
No idea, so I'll say Bobby.
Bobby Thigpen is correct.
Okay.
He played at Mississippi State.
Nice.
All right, now you're back. All right. Which of these Phillies did not have a walk-off home run? This should be a no.
Yeah.
A walk-off hit, not a walk-off home run.
Okay.
Which of these Phillies did not have a walk-off hit in 2022? Okay. Bryson Stott, Nick Maton, Garrett Stubbs, Derek Hall.
Derek Hall.
Derek Hall is correct.
Yeah. And he had a lot of big hits.
Big hits.
He did. That's another same thing in a slower time.
Yeah, yeah.
Derek Hall would have been a big story,
We've
right?
Been at his house.
So many storylines.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's going on the Phillies vacation.
Yeah, Phillies vacation. We're
awesome.
Heading to Jamaica on Tuesday, Vid.
I've stayed at that place. It's amazing.
Oh, have you?
In fact, go see Bob Marley's birthplace.
Really? Is it close?
It's a 3-hour bus ride up to the mountains.
Oh, my wife would love that.
Well,
where are we going? To the cemetery.
What beach are we going to, Tom?
Yeah. Exactly.
What shopping are we going to do?
You can stay by the pool.
But Derek Hall's coming. Cool. And coming with us. And the highlight film was great for him. I mean, what a great addition he was mid-season. It was awesome.
All right, manager Rob Thompson was a catcher and third baseman in which organization from 1985 to 88? Was it the Tigers, Twins, Brewers, or Blue Jays?
Tigers.
Tigers, correct. See, I thought we were going to get...
Blue Jays.
Right. I thought I was going to throw you off
Canadian
with a little Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
All right.
You missed 3 in a row, but you just came back and you've gotten 3 in a row.
Good.
So now you got 2 more left.
Wow.
All right. I think you're going to know this because you're a music guy.
Question.
This is a music question because your name is Video.
That's a good point.
Right?
Not audio.
Not audio, Dan. What was the first music video ever shown on MTV in 1981? Do you know the answer?
Video killed the radio.
Yeah,
star.
Not
exactly.
Audio killed the video killed the radio star by the Buggles, right?
Yes.
I don't even. I was going to give you either. You Better Run by Pat Benatar. Take on Me by Aha. The Tide Is High by Blondie. But you got it.
Yeah.
Video killed the radio. So you didn't even need the multiple choice. All right, last question.
Uh-oh.
Okay. You live near Atlantic City, right?
Like.
100 feet from Atlantic City, right. That's why I couldn't say you live in Atlantic City, because then Scott Brandeth, who's our big critic, would say...
We're trying to go mistake-free this podcast.
Yeah.
Have we gone mistake-free yet?
I don't want to jinx it.
All right, you live near Atlantic City. Which casino was the first legal casino to open on the East Coast on
Resorts.
May 26,
1978,
Resorts Merv Griffin.
Absolutely.
Yes. Wow. So what was his final tally, Tom?
He wound up getting 6 out of 9.
That's what he needed. He needs 6.
Bang.
So he wins something that we haven't even told you we're going to win.
I would come up with something.
Surprise. An autograph picture by Charles Nelson Reilly.
That works for me.
There you go.
Was there a better guy we could have had for our first repeat guest.
You have had Jim Salisbury on a couple times. I've noticed.
Actually, maybe we did.
We did. Well, that was different because that was, that was a playoff run, right? That was a special 20-minute recap of the playoffs.
And
series.
How about that announcement that he's moving on? Yeah.
I talked to him yesterday. Run. So,
did you?
Yeah, one of my favorite people, really one of my favorite people, and such a great writer. And talk about, you know, just like Video, who had a great relationship with the players, of which gave him access to the players that nobody else could have gotten. Jim was the same thing. Jim was a trusted guy that the players knew and trusted, and that's a big thing, trust, you know, with the media and the players. And when we talk, you know, one of my favorite things that I ever saw in spring training was when Jim wanted to do a story on Billy Wagner's fastball, and I guess Jim caught, and Billy agreed to have Jim catch him in a bullpen session in spring training, which, again, a lot of players wouldn't want to do that.
That's
right?
Terror right there.
Right. Jeez. And or a lot of writers wouldn't want to do it either. Catching 100-mile-per-hour fastball.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and it's been, Angelo Cataldi and Ray Dittinger, you know, and Jim Salisbury. There have been a lot of guys who've been stepping down this year.
Like, sorry to go back to this, but again, in a slow time, not just the Fanatic, you could have done it something on Jim Gardner
Gardner,
all the different guys that did. Mark Zumoff and Angelo and all the ones that we had retirees, you know, that would have been a story in a slow time.
Right, exactly.
But such a great year.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was the good part is that you go through those slow time videos to get to these and I think we're going to go on a roll now for a while, guys. I just, it's that whole thing. They learn how to win because Schwarber was the only guy that had a World Series ring going into spring training and then boom, now we got 25 guys of the World Series.
Exactly.
All right.
Right.
Last question before Tom wraps up is I'm going to put you on the spot here. A prediction of who is next year's narrator. Who would
question.
Who would be a good person, you think, looking back right now, who could be that narrator?
Wow.
Knowing their personality, knowing. Right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because there's certain guys' voices that I could hear and say, that wouldn't work for an hour, you know, and other guys that wouldn't probably be comfortable doing it. And then, like for example, Reese, when I asked him to do it, he was like a professional already. He was
great. Yeah,
Kyle was great.
Real good.
I would love to get Bryce to do it.
Yeah.
It would just – and it was funny because when he won the MVP in 21 – we sort of belatedly asked him, and then they decided, you know what, he's got a lot on his plate. Let's wait till we have a good ending before we ask him. So hopefully.
Well, and you showed in Bedlam at the Bank that he had a little bit of the time in the booth.
Right.
You know,
which I wasn't even, that was one of those things I was going to cut, and I'm like, no, I like this too much. He was, because you get to see him and his personality and playing off Crucky. And, you know, Crucky's my hero. I love John. And so anything he's involved with, it's going to work. But, that would be my dream, would be to get Bryce.
That's not who I thought you were going to say. I thought, you know, knowing that Schwarber was a first-year player with the team this year, I thought, well, Trey Turner could be that kind of spark plug player, too. I think the guy's going to be all over the field just doing everything, and he's just going to really put a stamp on this team.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
So we'll see.
Yeah. And that's the good thing is that Kyle sort of broke the ice. So I think other guys are like, I could do that. You know, I could, because that's what happened in the past. The one guy that didn't fit that mold was Chase, because, you know, he doesn't like doing stuff like that. But it's like, Chase, come on, you got to. You and Jimmy and Ryan. And he wound up doing it twice.
Hey, yeah. Chase is coming to Fantasy Camp this year.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, maybe these guys are.
Got him out of London.
Yeah, I hope
somebody's shooting that, or I hope there's a crew there. It's good stuff.
I'll go down with my iPhone.
There you go.
Start shooting some video.
Maybe we need you to come down.
Yeah, really. That sounds like an excuse to go to Clearwater.
When is that, buddy?
Or when you do the Chase documentary, you can come down to Fantasy Camp if I can come with you to London, and I can give you a little background on England. And because Chase is the ambassador to baseball.
I can't imagine Chase in London. That's amazing. That's cool, though.
Yep.
Yeah, good times. Video Dan, we loved, talking with you. It's always great to see you, so thanks for joining Phillies Backstage.
My pleasure.
All right, John, we're signing off then.
To the great video. Looking forward to a third time with you in a year or two.
Hey, we'll do it. All right, well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time on Phillies Backstage.